Good evening, all of you beautiful beings of energy and light. Thank you for joining us under the influence of tonight's moon that is now void as she moves from Leo to Virgo, where she'll be full in a couple of days. In the lead up to the moon waxing to full in Virgo, we can expect to take forward motion with our health. The moon will shine your light of inner awareness on your health and intuitively urge you to take positive action. This is because Virgo brings to the surface our need to honor ourselves as sacred vessels. The more we honor the sacredness of ourselves, the more we elevate the consciousness beyond this archaic thinking. This love is a form of activism. So in this stream, we come together to explore, to connect, to become inspired, to heal and raise consciousness together. I'm your host, Jessica Dillon Winter, and I pay homage to you for tuning in. Thank you. I'm coming to you live from the Dive-In in downtown Lake Worth, Florida, and my call-in guest this evening is Dalian Chase. Dalian is a good friend of mine. He's also an accomplished meditator. He sought the knowledge and tools to overcome adversity in his life. He arrived at meditation and mindfulness as a practical and powerful path to personal freedom when he discovered meditation's not this superhuman thing that everyone thinks it is. He's practiced daily meditation and mindfulness for the past 8 years. He's also an extremely creative person, being a big foodist, always making all these wonderful creations with food, and he's also a sculptor. And we'll talk to him a little bit about both of those artistic endeavors as well. So we'll talk to him about how meditation changed his life and how it can help you to create successful patterns in your life, improving everything from your stress levels to your immune system and creative processes. And then Dalian will lead us with a guided meditation during the second half of the show. Dalian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jess. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Jess, and thank you to all the listeners. I hope you guys get a lot of value in this.
You're very welcome. So, Dalian, of course, I know you on a personal level and know a lot about your life and the things you've struggled with and how you came to this path of meditation and found these tools to help you. But our listeners who are not familiar with you, I'm sure, would like to learn a little bit more about your background. So can we start there with you just kind of telling me where you were in your life before you came across these tools?
Sure. I just didn't live with myself. I didn't be in the place that I was. I guess I was in a bad crowd. I was always trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, I was never happy with how much money I had or the things that I had, and I just wanted to be successful. And I thought that I had to reach out to all these things to get that. So that's where I was, and I was getting miserable, just thinking of all the things where I could be. You know, I was never happy where I was. So I guess my family, relationships, health, fitness, career, everything was down the drain at that point. It was 7, 8 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. And at that time, you were pretty much just out of high school, right?
Yeah. High school, smoking a pack of cigarettes a day, drinking alcohol, which we'll get to later on. I finally figured out why I was doing all of those things. No guidance, no one really in my life. I didn't know what to do, really. And I just know what I wanted. I didn't know how to get there. But later on, I realized that I actually had everything I wanted.
It does to me. How did you first start down the path? Okay, so you realized you were kind of in a bad place. You weren't really very happy with everything that was going on in your life, the things that you were doing, your friends you were having trouble with. So what made you, was there a certain incident in your life? What made you seek?
I needed that change. I needed to make a change right away. I just couldn't deal with everything apart.
And so I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right here and tell you, I know you're on a cell phone, and you're breaking up just slightly. It's a little bit difficult to hear you, so I don't know if it's possible for you to move yourself into a better place where we can hear you a little bit more clearly. But okay. But go ahead and keep talking.
Okay. So, you know, I thought about what I wanted. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought about what I wanted. I wanted peace. I wanted harmony. I wanted love, laughter, health, you know, abundance, wisdom. I wanted all of those things in my life. And I had to seek out to get it. So I started researching. I started looking at books in the self-help section. You know, this was a time where people actually went into Barnes and Nobles.
You mean instead of going online, right?
And information as best you can. But, you know, I went in there and I saw a pattern. I saw that the books on peace mentioned something called meditation. The books on harmony, laughter, love, all that stuff that I just mentioned, they all led to this meditation thing. So that led me on my journey to find out, okay, who are the people that are teaching meditation? What are they saying about it? How is this going to help me? And that's where the journey started.
And you and I have had many conversations about many different great masters and ordinary people who meditate and who have gained all of this wisdom that they can apply to their lives and that we in turn can apply to our lives. So do you want to talk to me about some of the specific people whose books you read or who you learned from?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You know, one thing is that I realized that these people wrote books. They're selling books. They're making millions off of these books. And what they did was they packaged something so simple and they made it complicated. So sure, their book started a good journey. You know, it opened my eyes, let me see, get me closer to it. But in the end, they packaged it with this beautiful golden wrapper. And in a way, you lose a candy. But Wayne Dyer was one of them. He was complicated because he described everything as the gap. You got to get in the gap. But, you know, it didn't make sense to me. What is the gap? What are they talking about? Deepak Chopra was another one. But I don't know if you ever heard Deepak talk. You know, he says, oh, it's a field of infinite possibilities. A non-locality, cosmic consciousness kind of thing. I mean, if someone wants to learn about meditating, you know, meditation, that's too much. And that's where this whole superhuman spiritual thing came from when you mentioned in the introduction. Eckhart Tolle was another one that said, hey, it's a state of mind without a mind. Absolutely no thought. So, you know, it's a little confusing. These people are still alive. I, you know, continued my research to find the people that they learned from. So then it went to a guy named Yogananda, Krishnamurti. You know, those are two of the pioneers with meditation. And even they explained it in a way that someone who wants to learn is not going to learn. Later on, everything that they said made sense, but that's after you start practicing it, and then you see. But, you know, Yogananda acted like an alien. Krishnamurti said, there's just the way I feel, I can't explain to you, you won't understand. Later on, that made sense. So I had to go to the... Oh, go ahead.
But before you came to that understanding, because right now I'm thinking about, you know, our listeners who might be interested in meditation and they might be running into the same thing where they're reading these books and they're reading these concepts and they're getting confused because, you know, things seem so overly complicated when yet you and I, as accomplished, experienced meditators, understand the real basic, simplistic nature of meditation. you know, it's only after a certain amount of study and practice that you get to that point. But how would you explain to someone that it is just so very simple?
Well, simply something that the Buddha said. You know, all these other guys, like I said before, they packaged it, a simple, nice, sweet candy in a beautiful wrapper. We get lost in the wrapper. But the Buddha said something that got me into my first meditation. And one of his disciples said, you know, how can I be enlightened, right? Ultimately, that's the goal in life. We all want to be enlightened. We'll get there later. But how can I get enlightened? And the Buddha said, if you can concentrate on your breath for 2 hours, you'll be enlightened. And then I laughed, Jess. I was like, are you serious? I went through all of these books, all of this research for the guy who created this whole thing, or one of them, to say that's all you have to do is concentrate on your breath.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's that simple. This candy that they all package, it's as simple as just concentrating on your breath. Or so I thought, of course. So I got excited. I was like, okay, I'm going to get my peace, my harmony, my laughter, my health, my wisdom, just from concentrating on my breath. So I sat down, I got comfortable, I closed my eyes, I concentrated on my breath. I didn't even last 2 minutes, and I'm supposed to last 2 hours to get enlightened. And within those 2 minutes, all of my thoughts started rushing in. Something that happened earlier that day, in the past, whatever bothered me or whatever I want to do tomorrow, like all of these things just started flooding my head. And I realized, wow, this something so simple is extremely hard.
Mm-hmm. But yet not. and
here's, but yet not. Yeah.
So profound yet so simple. And here's the thing, you know, and you know that I have worked with many people one-on-one, you know, who have come to me expressing an interest and curiosity about meditation, and I've sat them down and taught them, you know, different techniques and ways to meditate, and never trying to force anyone into any particular box. You know me, I hate the boxes. Everybody has different methods that will work differently for them, but the breath is definitely one method that I suggest to people, you know, to bring themselves to that centered, grounded state of awareness, is to concentrate on the breath. You know, the thing is that people, when they sit down to meditate, ultimately they put too much pressure on themselves and too much expectation, and then behind that comes the judgment and everything else that follows because of the ego. So you put that expectation on yourself to not have any thoughts coming through your head at all whatsoever, but you can't stop that stream of thought. It's not possible. You know, and one of the techniques that never actually worked for me personally, but I still offer it because it could be helpful to someone else, is as your thoughts come to you, just take them very gently and put them aside into different buckets. You know, you have thoughts that comes to you, like you mentioned earlier, you know, something that happened at work. Okay, put that in the work bucket, and, you know, you'll think about it later. Something that happened with a family member, put that in the family bucket and come to it later. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I agree. Because the thing is, the stream of thinking, I'll just say this now, it will continue. Because if it stops, then you will be the Buddha, or you will be the Christ, you will be all of these sages. It is extremely hard to stop that stream of thinking. What they want you to do is you observe it. And there's a way to take a few steps back, and you'll continuously be able to see the thoughts, but you'll never be identified with it. You know, I look at it like a treadmill. And I'll explain that in a second. But when you said too many types of meditation, I mean, there's, you can gaze at a candle, right? You can drink tea.
That's one of the things I tell people.
A lot of people take 2 hours to their tea, which is, it's what you should do. Every Saturday, I take an hour to drink my tea. Not 2 hours, but, you know, a good hour just to drink a little cup of tea.
And how do you, so during that, you know, that's a tea meditation. Okay, so you're meditating as you're consuming something. So walk me through, you know, what happens within that hour. How does each sip happen? What happens in your mind? What thoughts are going through your mind as you're doing this tea meditation?
Well, I'm not thinking about anything prior to a few minutes before the tea or anything after the tea. I'm not thinking about yesterday or tomorrow. While I'm drinking the tea, I'm in full observation with the tea. So it's
you're trying to remain in the present moment.
Yeah, and the thing is, all the present moment is, because you'll hear that word thrown around every avenue, like all the present moment is being fully engaged with what you're doing, right? And
right.
If you're drinking tea, you know, you're before you even start drinking it, you're grateful what it took to get the tea into that tea bag. You think about the water. You're grateful where the water came from, that you have water. So before you even start tasting it, these things are going through your mind or my mind at the time. How does the cup feel on your hand? Is it warm? Right? What does it
mm-hmm.
look like? What is the color? How much tea is in your cup? How does it feel when it touches your lips? How does it feel when you get the first sip? How does it smell? And you do this with every single sip. And I'll tell you what, that is mindful drinking of your tea, right? That it doesn't. You can call it a meditation. You can call it a tea meditation. But what it is you're actually living. And if you do that, it'll take an hour. You're enjoying every single piece of it. And that's really rare to find, because you're doing something that's not a means to an end, right? If someone
mm-hmm.
eats, they're going to try to fill their hunger, right? They're kill their appetite. Or if you're drinking your tea, quench your thirst, or anything that you do, if you're driving point A to point B, but you're missing this big part of life where the drive to get to point B, you know, what it took to quench your thirst or your hunger, and that's where the mindfulness comes from. It's like an everyday engagement. And,
right.
And in a way, that's a meditation. What is a candle meditation? Nothing. You're just looking at a candle mindfully, looking at the way the flame moves left to right, how the wax melts, the color, the shine, all of that.
What I find too, you know, that I I've done a lot of research and study, you know, on consciousness ascension and all these different, you know, levels of consciousness and really being truly open to the world. So another thing that comes to mind when you talk specifically about candle meditation, because that's how I started meditating when I started about 10 years ago. I would notice in my focusing in on the flame, and of course I would have this hyper focus, and this actually brings up a side thought too about meditating with eyes closed or open, so we probably should touch on that in a minute. But, you know, as you focus on something, on an object, let's say that candle flame, all of the background beyond that changes into something else, and you can see other things in that space. You know, some would say maybe those things are in another dimension or whatever, but what do you think about that?
I think that everything we see is a world of form, and the world of form was all created by the mind. So what
mm-hmm.
happens when you look at the world of form without a mind? Now, yes, I'm sounding a little crazy. I could sound like one of those guys that I mentioned, the Deepaks and all them. But think about it. If you're looking at something that your mind created without thinking, you're not going to see that. For example, if you really want to see a flower, if you really want to see a tree, sit down in front of one, close your eyes, and meditate for 20 minutes. We'll go through the details of the meditating later, but when you open your eyes after 20, 30 minutes or an hour or so, your thought processes are so slow. You're not thinking. Your mind doesn't have time to say it's a green leaf. Your mind doesn't have time to say, that's the sun shining through. It's it can't call it a flower. It can't call it a tree. And what you see is something incredible. And that's why some of them say they can't explain what it is that they're seeing, because your mind wants to attach a label to it. So meditation will help you disidentify from this world of form that was created by the mind, which, I mean, I can, in a minute, I'll explain this entire thing with a treadmill analogy. The entire Bible, Bhagavad Gita, I don't know about the Quran, I haven't looked into that, but almost everything will be explained just with my treadmill analogy, so we'll get into that. But yes, so that's what I mean. You're going to see something beyond this world because you're looking at it without your mind. There are two people in our heads. There's two. There's one that's creating everything and labeling and identifying. That's how we play our roles in life, right? And then there's another one that's not identified to that.
So when you say two people in your head, would you label that as positive and negative ego?
No, you can have... No, it's just ego in general. Because the ego, it's like a ball of thoughts that you're identified with. And the ego, it can be positive or negative, because you can be the most humble person on earth, but you can still have an ego.
We all have ego. For sure.
Yeah. Mine comes in once in a while.
I think that's where mindfulness where mindfulness is important, because, you know, I think, and you know, everyone who knows me or knows about me or who's listened to the show for a while knows, you know, that my roots are in Buddhism, and that's where much of my study has been. And in the specific tradition of Buddhism that I studied, one of the major teachings was about constantly cutting through the ego and being aware of that negative and positive ego. And just, you know, it doesn't mean that it's not there. It doesn't mean that I don't struggle with both the negative and the positive ego. You know, I certainly have not arrived at any place. It's a constant practice. But to have that level of awareness, you know, that you're mentioning also in this show, it is so important, you know.
Some of us get knocked out of our ego by accident. You know, you can be a good player or some company, and the minute you lose your job,
Galen, you're breaking up. I can't hear what you're saying. You sound very muffled.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I am here. I swear, I have bars on the phone. some people are kicked off of their ego by accident. It can be getting laid off at a job can bring tremendous joy. You know, it's like a life shock that kicks you off of it to let you see that you are playing a role. A lot of people are identified with their position or who they are on society's ladder.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Right. Well, that leads me to the teachings of attachment. You know, I think a lot of times people tend to become attached to their beliefs about themselves. A lot of times that stem from ego. And so that's another major teaching, you know, in Buddhism is non-attachment.
Right. And that's a problem, because the attachment is supposed to bring people happiness, or that's what they think. And it's like a never-ending story. That's what happened with me. I was trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, today I wear a $10 watch. I have the Rolex in the closet. I don't even care for it. It's that attachment to things that was supposed to bring you happiness. It's a never-ending story, and you have to break the cycle. You have to break the stream of thinking.
Right.
Right. But you know what? Let me. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was reminded of when you were talking earlier about mindfulness. You know, living mindfully being a meditation in and of itself. I thought about mantra, and I wanted to know if there was anything you wanted to say about mantra.
Well, what the mantra does, what I found it does, is that
Actually, we probably should first explain for people who don't understand what a mantra is. We should probably define it. Do you want to go ahead?
Oh, okay. A mantra is like a saying that a lot of practitioners, meditators, they use to get them to slow their thought processes down. The thing is, it can be an ancient saying. An example of a mantra is Om Brzee Namaha, and you do that 108 times on your mala bead. It's supposed to, it can be spiritual. You know, it's a beautiful cultural thing. It's not completely necessary to stop your mind. You can say Mickey Mouse over and over 100 times, and you'll break a, get a gap in the stream of thinking. You'll slow it down. So that's what a mantra is basically doing, is tricking the mind to just slow down. It kind of puts you in a different state, a meditative state, but I think not using a mantra will get your mind to slow down a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. In Buddhism, mantra is called a mind protector.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's the thing. You can use it if you want, but if you use it, you're left in like a hypnotized state.
Mm-hmm.
And coming off this treadmill, it's beyond that. You want to go further back. You know, so the way your mind works, like a treadmill, that's on, and you're on the treadmill. Society's on the treadmill. But some people can't get off the treadmill. Meditation will take you off, and your thoughts are going to make the treadmill spin. So some of us are walking, some of us are running, and some of us are sprinting. And there's certain things that can get you off the treadmill, such as meditation or being scared straight out your mind. I remember one time, I'll tell you a little story, I had a gun to my head. I wasn't the one holding it. I was robbed at an ATM.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so strange. It's later on that I found out what that meant, but I felt such a joy. Having that gun at my head scared me straight out of thinking. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Scared me right out of thinking, and I experienced what it felt like to come off of the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also related to when people are on their deathbed, you always hear stories about how peaceful they get, and it's because the mind is shutting down, their thought processes are shutting down, they get off of this treadmill, and they experience a high level of peace. So that's our goal. Our goal is to get off of this treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
There's different ways to do it, right? You have meditation. Some people take drugs, right? Substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do it through addiction to sex. For a minute of your orgasm, you're not thinking. You're off the treadmill. But here's the problem, especially with the substance abuse, with the cigarettes or whatever drugs or alcohol. You're off the treadmill of thinking. You're not thinking while you're using. But the minute you're off of the substance, you're back on the treadmill, but this time you're running faster. You're holding on tighter, and the machine's breaking. So then they need a break again. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll do it again. And then they get back, and then it gets unstable. And what happens is that the treadmill, your thoughts, everything spins out of control, and it takes the person with them. And then everything crashes.
Mm-hmm.
So the ultimate goal in life is to get off of that treadmill way before you die, and naturally, without using any substances. And it's when you're off of that treadmill, you're looking at life a whole different way. And that's when you reap the benefits of meditation. It's kind of like being in a hot air balloon and you're looking down at traffic, but you're not in the traffic. You're not identified with the traffic. You're just watching it happen.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of traffic, how do you handle when you're upset in traffic? I know there have been times I've been on the phone with you while you're driving, and, you know, you have these little outbursts, but I also know you, you know, as a very peaceful being, but you're also very real, you know, as we all are. So how do you bring yourself back to being mindful when you're angry in traffic?
And that's a beautiful thing, because I've been doing it for 8 years and I'm still learning.
We all are.
The minute I realize that I act out on the road or something like that, I immediately come back to my breath.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I catch my breath and get mindful on it, I stop thinking. The stream of thought goes away. So
that's interesting, because I actually today I was in a huge rush to get to the dive-in for the show. You know, there's always a little bit of prep I have to do beforehand, and I ran into two accidents on I-95 on my way, and I was looking down at the clock and it was 5:45, which is the time I should have been already sitting down in front of the computer, putting stuff together and preparing for the show, and instead I was stuck in that traffic doing 5 miles per hour at 95. And I immediately felt those feelings of, you know, anxiousness and anger start to arise in me. But then almost honestly without thought, you know, I just was able to make them completely dissipate. But that didn't mean that they didn't come back, you know, 30 seconds later. So it was like this constant tug of war. But there were no... I guess the only thing that maybe went through my head is I told myself, I'm happy. I'm happy. So maybe it was like a little bit of a mind game I was playing with myself. You know, I didn't necessarily focus on my breath, which I'll do sometimes. But in this particular instance, I didn't. I just, you know, told myself that I was happy. So it helped me get through past the accidents and, you know, to my exit safely. But yeah,
it's funny because it's, when you're mindful, time doesn't exist. And there's another superhuman kind of crazy thing that I'm throwing out there, but time doesn't exist because you're fully engaged in the present. And the problem is that we have to use time. Right? We all work. You had to get to the show at this time. It had to start at 7, right?
Right.
So It's a battle. It's like, how do you be peaceful, present, mindful, but yet have to use time, which operates with the mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of difficult. You have to use it when you can,
mm-hmm.
and then try to get back the little streams where you don't need to worry about the time. You get back onto being mindful. Tough. It's a battle.
It's like I said, it's a constant practice, and that's where, you know, I've spoken with people before, and when they know my background and the things that I've been through and the stage that I've arrived at, you know, they talk about me having arrived at this certain space, and I remind them, you know, it's not an arrival, you know, it's a constant continuing practice. It's daily, every second, you know, trying my hardest to always stay in the present moment, you know, and you know, we have things that happen in our lives that are beyond our control all the time, you know. Maybe somebody, you know, does or says something mean to you, or doesn't value you, or doesn't recognize when you've done a great thing, or whatever it might be, you know, but at any moment, whenever you have something negative like that come to you, you still hold the power within yourself to choose to be happy. Happiness is a choice. And
right.
I think that that's a very important lesson, you know, that I've learned. And, you know, my history, my stories, I've been through a lot of stuff, you know, and I've had many, you know, incidents happen in my life, you know, where I could have very well have and did at many points, you know, take sort of more of that victim mentality, like, oh, this person did this or that to me, But I've completely changed my mindset, you know, where I don't do that anymore. But how has, you know, since you found this path of meditation and mindfulness, how has your entire view of life changed?
I'm not reactive, except for, what was it, yesterday with the traffic? No, but the thing is, it's opened up doors in my mind, or not my mind, because we're talking about beyond mind, right? But it's opened up traits that I've always wanted. So I guess this would answer your question. All of the benefits that you hear about meditation, I experience every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love
about
it.
What are those benefits? Talk to us about some of those benefits.
It can be the willpower, fearlessness, no anxiety, creative thinking with the costumes and the cooking, new, fresh new ideas, strong immune system, your low blood pressure, create an abundant life, which we'll get to because that's another superhuman term, right? Stop time, that's another one. You know, with the stopping time, this is the German guy, his knee-high, Csikszentmihalyi.
It's becoming difficult to hear you again, Dalian. I don't know if you can move to where you have better reception.
Jess, maybe you should move.
I've been sitting in the exact spot, not moving, this whole time.
Good. Now close your eyes and concentrate on your breath. But, you know, stopping the time, making me fully present and engaged to, you know, when you're mindful in a situation and fully engaged, and that's what the Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi guy developed, the state of flow, you're actually living. And I can say that meditation allowed me to finally live. And these are things that I would actually miss out on, or did miss out on the first, half of my life. Tremendous amount of benefits. The thing is, with meditation, when you meditate, you shut down your nervous system temporarily. And the effect it has, it's not right away. It's throughout the day. That's why a lot of people meditate first thing in the morning. You're actually shutting down the lizard brain. The lizard brain, your amygdala, it's the fight or flight response. It's reactive to everything. It's the fearful. It's kind of like, you know, if you have the angel and the devil on your shoulder, the amygdala is kind of like your animal devil brain. And the angel is your frontal cortex, and that's the love and compassion, that's where you see the beauty of life. So the more you meditate, the more you shut down that lizard brain. And that's why meditation gets rid of anxiety. Okay, that's why you have no fear. There's so many entrepreneurs, if you read about their habits, they all meditate. They're fearless. You know.
And there's a lot of science behind the effects of meditation, you know, when it comes to health, right? Like with these things you're talking about with, and you just kind of explained, you know, some of the science behind how it releases anxiety, but also with boosting the immune system and all of that, right?
Right, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel it. And, you know, before when I mentioned that I couldn't even meditate for 2 minutes without thinking of something, I continued to practice. I did 5 minutes. I did 10 minutes. Now easily an hour. It continues. And then you just keep reaping the benefits. And what you find out is you don't need to meditate. You just need to be mindful. Meditation is mindfulness, like what we spoke about with the tea. So imagine if you're mindful throughout the entire day. That's beautiful. That means you're off of the treadmill at all times. Yeah.
That's like when I was going through my great transformation in my life, after I, you know, basically was brought down to my knees, you know, as low as I ever had been. You know, I had several, you know, what I guess, for lack of better terms, I could refer to as tragedies happen, you know, one after the other in my life. You know, and I was meditating every day and took that good hard look in the mirror and really analyzed myself and looked at myself and tried to figure myself out completely, and came to really know who I was through that. I was meditating on a daily basis back then for several months, for probably a good, 6 months or more. I meditated every single day, and now I'm at the point where I don't meditate anymore every single day. But like you're saying, I am mindful always. And I use meditation now more as just a tool, like when I really feel myself getting like, okay, I tend to take on way too much, as you know, and I'm actually at that point right now. I'm so friggin' stressed out with everything I have going on. I'm leaving on Friday to go to LA. I've just had a change in my full-time job, where I've been promoted into this new position with increased responsibility, but I'm still doing my old job at the same time, and I've got my business on the side, and I've got the radio show, and plus my life going on, and all my friendships and relationships and everything, and it's a lot, and now is one of those times for me when I'm like, okay, whoa, Jess, it's time to break out the toolbox, and what's the very first tool that I'm going to reach for is my meditation cushion in front of my shrine.
Shut down that lizard brain. Shut it down.
Yeah. Yep. So, and everyone worries, everyone stresses, and meditation is really a great, great tool, to relieve some of that. And I know here, we've got about 18 minutes left before the show goes off the air. So I know you're going to walk us through how to meditate. But before we do that, I really want to talk also about some of your other things that you do. You're an artist. You are an artist, and you create, you're overflowing with creativity all the time. Tell us about some of the food. You have this special album on Facebook, and you're continuously posting all of these, delicious looking pictures of food. Even for me as a vegetarian, I look and I'm like, that looks really good, because your presentation is so artistic. And then of course with your sculptures that you make, you're into making masks, and those who are watching through the internet can see some of the pictures in the slideshow of the masks that you've made. And go ahead and tell us about that.
Both of those are my meditations, right? Those are meditate through cooking and through artwork as well. But before I get into them, I want to touch on the creativity, because one thing that got me obsessed with meditation is the creative thinking, or these new thoughts. Remember when I said that Deepak speaks about all these terms, infinite possibilities, and we all want to know, like, what are they talking about? How does that work? So your mind's like a snow globe, and if you shake it, all of the snow, those are your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
As when you meditate, all of the pieces of fragments come to the bottom, and your mind is now a snow globe empty. There are no thoughts in there, and then that's how new thoughts are generated. And out of pure consciousness, right, pure awareness, these are real thoughts that didn't come from being influenced from past or future. They're just beautiful, creative thoughts. So that's how it is. That's why a lot of people, they love my cooking. They love the costume. I'm just very mindful with it. I give it my all, and I get lost in it. I can work on a costume and lose 6 hours out of the day because I'm in that meditative state, or same with cooking. I don't really think of anything. I'm glad that you think they're beautiful. Appreciate it. It's just me just being creative.
Mm-hmm. But I find, when you put your whole being into something, and you just let go and let that creative flow happen and let it overtake you, you end up, and I think, from what I've seen in my own experience through my own creative releases, such beautiful things, you have such beauty that comes out of that creativity when it's so when it just flows naturally, you know, and it's not so purposeful. And that's, you know that I do the process painting, for example.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, I don't go into, you know, I don't sit down with my paints and my brushes and my paper with this pretty picture in mind that I'm going to paint, because to me that's connected to the ego. So I don't want to satisfy my ego or enliven my inner critic as I'm trying to paint whatever pretty picture it is. So I just instead come into it completely mindlessly, really, you know, but being mindful of the fact that I have nothing there in my mind that I'm trying to create, and just let it all flow from my core, you know, very intuitively, very, you know, and some of, you know, the things that come out afterwards, I look at it and I'm like, wow, that's really beautiful.
Yeah. Just fully engaged in it without an end to a means. I mean, a means to an end, right?
Right.
You know, for those that can see the website, if they see the costumes, they'll see that these aren't my ideas. You know, there's Jack Skeleton, the mask, Edward Scissorhands, Tim Burton's Corpse Bride. So sure,
they're
I had
your recreation.
Of what I wanted. The way I got there, I just let it flow. I mean, you're talking about scraps in the garage from whatever items, and you just be creative and put it together. What happened was, the reason I got into the costuming, I think it was 2008, we went to, I guess, a festival where everyone had their costumes on, and there's this guy who had the Joker costume, the Heath Ledger costume that he made, and I tried talking to him. I wanted to tell him that his costume was nice, but he just kept showing me his knife and smiling. This guy was in character, and for a minute, I felt like I was on the set of that movie. I forgot where I was. And it just let my imagination soar, and I wanted to do that for other people. So that's where this whole costuming came from. And 2009 was the first costume, Edward Scissorhands. And year after year, I wear them, and I allow people to explore their imagination. The most recent one was Beetlejuice. And, you know, I'm fortunate that these costumes win first place and able to pay off, you know, what it takes to make them. But in the end, it's a process of making it that I love, and allowing someone to, for their mind to stop and for them to get into the imagination.
We have a caller on the line. Are you okay with taking a call?
Sure, as long as they're nice. I'm just
All right. Dorisita, I've unmuted your microphone. You're live in the stream. What do you have to say? Dorisita, are you still there? Oh, I guess we lost her.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Come back. Call.
All right. So how much time do you need to bring us through this meditation?
Oh, no, only like 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Let's hope she calls back.
Okay. Well, we'll see if she calls back. And in the meantime, we can continue talking here. I've got an eye on the clock, so we've got just a little over 10 minutes left to the end of the show. So you talked about why time doesn't exist, you know, during meditation, and about the different types of meditation, how, you know, eating mindfully and painting and exercising. Did you mention exercising? Because I know that many times, you know, you tell me, you know, I'm going for my meditation. I'm getting ready to put my running shoes on.
Yeah, every Saturday I jog at the park. And when I'm done with my jog and I'm looking at the trees, I'm in a different state of mind. I'm seeing what I mentioned before with, you can't call it green. You can't put a label to anything. You're just seeing pure beauty. So, yeah, that's another form of my meditation. I'm hoping that it gets to the point where it's every minute of the day I'm mindful and I'm in a meditation. You know, a lot of people do it from yoga. Some people go to church. Some people pray. That's their meditation. But, you know, nothing against religion. But remember all of those authors that I explained before, and then the types of religions. What happened was, someone found candy and they wrapped it up with a beautiful wrapper. And then we all got too busy playing with the wrapper. We lost the candy. You know, turn on the news and you'll see what happens when the candy's gone and everyone's with the wrapper. You know, I haven't watched the news in years. If you turn it on, you'll see what happens when someone's on the treadmill and it's shaking and it's about to break. You need to get mm-hmm. off of it.
Mm-hmm.
You
have my mind spinning now, you know, and I'm thinking we could have a whole other show, you know, talking about the system and the bosses.
Reach out to you to find out if they want, you know, they want me to find more about things that they're going to do with, you know, we can chat about. You know, there's two things, though, like, if you want to really get something out of this, you have to be a guardian of your mind, okay? I don't listen to classical music. I'm not going to music with horrible lyrics. I'm not going to give any reason for my mind to start that treadmill again. Don't watch the news. Don't be around negative people. Just be a guardian. And if you have kids, be a guardian for them, too. Just be very careful what you let enter their ears, their eyes, all of their senses. And the other thing is, the point of our entire the only way to get to our, like, full, pure happiness without needing an item or identification is to get off of this treadmill. And you can use a safe tool to get there. And then you could have an awesome life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next stage in your spiritual growth is to turn around and see who that person is that's looking at the person that got off of the treadmill. Right?
Uh-huh.
Because that person has been watching you since you were a kid. Everything changed. Your body changed. You know, your roles changed, but that person has never changed. And I think all the listeners can agree. And one day, that's my goal, too. I hope I can turn around and see who that is that's looking at me.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are many different references, you know, to that. Some would call that your higher self. I'm going back to
God,
your
universe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. It's amazing. I could find everything that you ever wanted was just from concentrating on your breath. But that doesn't make a lot of money, so we had to package it into books, right? All of those benefits are their own books on its own, or a certain special meditation. You have to pay $1,200 to get your special mantra. The bottom mm-hmm. line is you just want to stop your mind. You want to get off of the treadmill and be able to look at your thoughts without being fully identified with them. Live mindfully.
Right. Don't.
Be a guardian of your mind.
Don't allow yourself to be attached to your thoughts. Let them come and let them go, especially in meditation. I think that's very important, again, you know, because like we said earlier, you know, you can't stop that stream of thought. But what you do is you just very simply and gently, without judging yourself or being hard on yourself, allow those thoughts to come, recognize that they're there, but don't follow them. Just let them go. Let them come
right.
and let them go.
And when you do that, you'll experience the peace, the harmony, the love, laughter, health, abundance, wisdom, whatever else we want. You know, before we start the meditation, I just want to say, you know how the gurus say that they can't explain what they feel?
Mm-hmm.
But I can. I can tell you, when you come off of that treadmill, and you're able to look at it, and you use it, you use your thoughts as a tool, you spin it when you want to, you stop it when you need to. When you come off of it, the feeling is like when you see a child laughing out of pure joy. You don't have a sense of time. You're just looking
mm-hmm.
at the baby. You're smiling, and you want to cry. And that's the pure love that you feel and that you get from this.
Mm-hmm.
No thing can get us that.
It's interesting you mentioned that. It's interesting you mentioned that because I've always, you know, my whole life, I've, especially walking past children, you know, I look down at them, you know, and it always brings a tear to my eye. And I used to be very self-conscious about it and think, oh my God, this parent's going to think I'm a total freak. Like, who's this person walking by looking at my kid and just crying, you know? But anyway, yes.
Sounds bad, baby. Yeah.
I have my Tibetan singing bowl right here. I will chime us into meditation whenever you're ready, but go ahead with your thought and then let me know when to go.
We'll go. It'll be quick. We might get cut off. That's fine. But if you're listening,
Live stream will continue on. It's the recorded version that will stop. So we'll just go until we go.
Okay. We'll do a meditation for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. I will be in full meditation because I'm going to, you know, speak to you and the listeners at the same time. So everyone keeps up, knows what they're doing. And at the end, maybe we can talk about it. I hope someone can call in, too. I'd love to hear what they feel. So if you're listening, sit on the floor or sit up straight. You know, there's no formality to it. The reason you're doing that is because you don't want to fall asleep. Because the minute your mind slows down, it feels threatened. It'll put you to sleep. So, you know, stay up. You want to be fully erect. I'm sitting down on the floor right now. Jess, I don't know what your posture is like.
I'm sitting down. I'm sitting on a cushion.
Okay, cool. So start bringing your awareness into your body. You're going to feel different sensations. You have your stomach going up and down. You're breathing in and out. And your goal is to follow the breath. You're going to start it from the sensations on the tip of your nose. You're going to close your eyes. We didn't start yet, I'm just saying. And then you're going to let the air go in, and you're going to follow it. Try to follow every single particle. And the minute you find out you're thinking about something that upset you earlier or tomorrow or some kind of thought, which you are going to because your mind feels that it's getting threatened, immediately come back to your breath. Try to concentrate on the little particles of air going in, all the way in, and then feel your stomach rising up, then feel your stomach rising, going back in. And then the air releasing. And then you're going to say in your mind what I'm saying out loud. So we can begin now. And let all of your air out. Breathing in. Breathing out. I am. Breathing in. Breathing out. I am. Breathing in. Peace. Breathing out. I am. Breathing in. Harmony. Breathing out, I am. Breathing in, love. Breathing out, I am. Breathing in, laughter. Breathing out, I smile. Breathing in, health. Breathing out, I am. Breathing in, abundance in all categories of my life. Breathing out, I am. Breathing in. Wisdom. Breathing out. I am. Breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in. Breathing out. I am. Breathing in. I am. Breathing out. I am. Now, those of you that are close, open your eyes and just slowly bring your eyes. That's it. You know what the problem is?
What's that?
The problem is that was too simple, right?
Right. It is. It is. It really is.
How do you feel?
How do I feel?
Mm-hmm.
I feel much more relaxed than I did when I started the show, for sure.
Very nice.
Thank you. I still need to sit down and go bring myself through full meditation because, as you know, I have a bazillion things going on right now that are driving me nuts.
For sure.
But yeah, it was great. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show, Diane. I appreciate your time. I want to have you back. I know we have much more to talk about. There were definitely things in the notes that we didn't even touch on. So, we can get to those next time along with so many more things.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to be on the show again, and I hope that your listeners got something of value, and I hope that they can get off that treadmill.
I hope
our
so, too.
Treadmill.
And let us know what you think. Visit facebook.com/inthestream. I think that in the I think it's in the stream. If you just search through Facebook, In the Stream with Jessica DeLumenter, you'll find the page and you can leave comments in there, which Diane will see if you have questions or anything. But thank you all for being in the stream, and I hope you'll join us next week when we speak with the band Luna Rex, who will be performing at this year's Sunfest in West Palm Beach. That's next Tuesday at 7 p.m. on In the Stream. Thank you all so much. Lots
Thank
of
you.
Love to you.
Good night.
Thank you, Diane. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye-bye.